ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، إخوتي وأخواتي في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Before the break, we began the explanation of the book of Nikah, and we took the fourth hadith in this book, and that is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, encouraging the youth to get married, particularly those who have the financial wherewithal to do that, because it is more beneficial for them, and that it protects their gains from turning around. Likewise, it also protects their private parts. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, from committing illicit acts. And those who are unable to do this because of their financial status, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged them to embark on fasting. This is likely to reduce their sexual urge. Inshallah, we proceed to the next hadith. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حمد الله وأثنى عليه وقال لكني أنا أصلي وأنام وأصوم وأفطر وأتزوج النساء، فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. In a lengthy hadith that talks about the story of the three groups that came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he was not around when they got to his house. They met some of his wives, and they asked them concerning the ibadah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they were informed about the ibadah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as contained in the report, كَأَنَّهُمْ تَقَارُّوهَا, it's like they belittled the ibadah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they quickly corrected themselves from that thought. For them to have claimed that the ibadah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was little, so they said that the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قَدْ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. We cannot compare ourselves to him, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven him his past sins, and the sins is yet to commit. So if he doesn't engage in much ibadah, there is nothing wrong with this, because he has been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for us, we are sinful people, we engage in a lot of sins, so we have to engage in a lot of ibadah in order to take care of our sins. So they started talking about things that they will engage in order to make you for the things that they've committed. So one of the three people said, as for me, لا أتزوج بالنساء, I will not marry forever. That is his own conclusion. One also said, as for me, I will do observe nafila throughout the night. The third one said, as for me, I will be fasting all day. This is the statement of the three men that came to the household of the Prophet Muhammad. When the Messenger of Allah came back, he was informed about the positions of these three men. A Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent after them, and they were brought to him, and he said, إِنِّي لَأَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَأَتْفَاكُمْ لَهِ, I fear Allah more than you people, and I avoid things of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits more than you people, and I partake in worship more than you people. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after this statement, لَكِنِّي أَنَا أُصَلِّي, as for me, I observe salah. وَأَنَا, and I also sleep. I will not use the whole night in what is salah. And that is why Aisha radiallahu anha said that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَمْ يَقُمِ اللَّيْلَ, he would not use the whole night in salah. It was never the practice of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to use the whole night. That is starting from after Salatul Isha, he will not continue the nafila till what is subh. Now there are instances that Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed prayer at night, that he lengthened the salah, that we can say maybe about 6 or so hours. But not all the night. Not all the night. He didn't use all the night in what? In observing nafila. And that is why Aisha radiallahu anha established this as contained in Abi Dawud. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَمْ يَكُمِ اللَّيْلَ, he did not observe the night. في الصلاة إلى الصباح, observing it في الصلاة إلى الصباح, he was still subh. So this did not happen. So like me, أنا أصلي, as for me, I will observe nafila at night وأنام, and I will also sleep. وأصوم وأفطر, and I will also fast وأفطر, and I will break. And that is why Messenger of Allah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم told Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-As, he invited him, he said, I learned that you will fast every day. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I have the ability to do that. The Messenger of Allah said, why can't you fast 30, fast maybe you fast maybe sometimes in what, in a month, or you fast maybe 10 or 15. He encouraged the man, said, what, utiku akhtar bin zalik, I can do better than that. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned 7, and what, the man is saying, what, I can do better than that. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now said, the third siyam is the Siyam of Dawood. أحب السيام إلى الله سيام داود عليه السلام. The best Siyam is the fasting of Dawood عليه الصلاة والسلام. He said, كان يصوم يوما ويفطر يوما. He will fast a day and watch. He will spare the other day. Like that. So the practice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is at times he will fast a day, spare the other day. Or at times you will fast consecutively for days, and you will break consecutively for days. As for someone to say, I will be fasting every day because I have what? The power to do that. One, this is likely to tell on his head, or certainly is going to tell on his head. Because Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-As, who eventually took to the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by fasting that of Dawood alayhi wasallam, he said, this thing eventually told on my edge. So Messenger of Allah said to these three men, he said, wa asum wa uftir, I will fast. and I will also drink. وَأَتَزَوَّدِ النِّسَاءَ And I also marry women. I'm married to women. I'm married to women. So this is the one that is relevant with this topic. فَمَا رَضِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي So whoever turns away from my sunnah, he is not part of me. Whoever turns away from my sunnah, he is not part of me. So the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to marry. Just as the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah is for them to marry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَكَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيًّا We have sent messengers before you. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا We made them marriage. The married women were ذُرِّيًّا And they also have what? Children. So this is the sunnah of Allah. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam got married. Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam got married. In fact, some of the prophets of Allah got married to more than what? One woman. So some of them they married four, some of them married more than that. Before it came to be restricted to four during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had many wives, not four. He had many, many wives. As you can see in what in the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise Prophet Dawood, his father. So the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Prophet of Allah is for them to get married. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيًّا So and we made them have wives and children. So for somebody to now say, okay, I want to fear Allah, so I'm not going to get married. Why? Because I want to worship Allah very well. Now, this is not the practice of the Prophet of Allah. Are you going to embark on something like that and say what you want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's something that all the closest people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not do. No messenger of Allah practiced that. Prophet Khalifa alayhi salatu wa salam that did not marry is coming back and that is part and parcel of the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He's going to do some other things. He's coming back. But apart from him, all other prophets of Allah, they got married. Unless if they are what? They are ignorances. But for somebody to say, okay, I'm not going to get married because I want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not sunnah of the prophets of Allah. It's against the path of the prophets of Allah. And that's the message of Allah, فَمَا وَرْضِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ Whoever goes away from my sunnah, فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي is not part and parcel of me. And that is why some people who claim that they want to fear Allah and they avoid worldly things, to the extent that they refuse to marry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ رَأْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً وَرَعْبَنِيَّةً اتَّبَعُوهَا وَرَعْبَنِيَّةً And celibacy, that is turning away from worldly things for them to choose to be celibate. اِتَّدَعُوهَا They introduced it by themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ We did not make it compulsory on them. We did not ask them to do that, It was they themselves that decided to do that, to avoid worldly things, and to also avoid getting married. And now we have to look at the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ دُنِيَاكُمْ النِّفَاقُ وَالطِّيبُ He said, not of the things of the dunya that you people do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made belong to me. Huh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endeared to me مِنْ دُنِيَاكُمْ Of your things of the dunya that you practice. And nisa, women. That is one. وَالطِّيبُ And to also apply perfume. He said, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ And the قُرَّةُ عَيْنِ That is for the eye to be good, to be good looking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this in what? In salah. Once I'm in salah, I have qurratu of the ayn. That is the delight of the face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in salah. So for us to say, okay, I'm going to and I'm not going to get married because I want to move close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is bid'ah. And that's why Allah said, وَرَحْبَنِيَّةً اِتَّدَعُهَا مَا كَتَبْنَا عَلِيهِمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ فَمَا رَعَوَا حَقَّ رِعَيَتِهَا. Allah said, we did not impose it on them. He didn't ask them to do. They only decided to do that. فَمَا إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. The reason why they introduced this is to get the pleasure of Allah. To get the pleasure of Allah. Allah said, فَمَا رَعَوَا وَمَا رَعَوَا حَقَّ رِعَيَتِهَا. And they did not watch, they didn't keep to it. And that is the problem. Some people, they introduce some things. When they introduce these things, they cannot do it. Just like what Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As said. He said, I later regretted this, that I was I embarked on. Not taking to the Nasiha of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, what he was doing, what he eventually took, is something that is permissible. But ordinary person cannot hear that. Now talk of somebody who is engaging in things that are not permissible. For one to say, I'm not going to get married, this is not the sunnah of humanity. If I say I'm not going to get married, you say you are not going to get married, that means you are talking about the extinction of the human race. If everybody sticks to that. So it's against the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the surface of it. So the one who says I'm not going to get married is like he wants to bring the extinction of the human race. So and that's why it is good for one to get married, as we shall also read from the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever goes away from my sunnah is not part and parcel of me. Now can one understand from this hadith that the person is a kafir? فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Is not part of me. No. The one who doesn't get married, as long as he's not going against marriage, he's not saying that what marriage is haram. When he says marriage is haram, that celibacy is what is permissible, then in that case you say what? The person is going against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins us to get marriage. So the one who says no, marriage is haram, then such a person is going against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one who does not get married, we say the person, if, based on what you have said before, the person can either be watched, maybe excused, if there's no need for him to get married, maybe he's poor and he doesn't have a sexual urge. So the person is what is free. But one who has a sexual urge, he has the financial wherewithal to do that, in other terms from getting married, such a person, what could be sinful. Because he's having the sexual urge and he has the ability to do that and he does not want to do it, the person is sinful. So falaysa minni does not mean what is a kafir. So this is what some people do not understand. Like some of the Khawarij, when they see something like this, maybe verses talking about saying something like this or hadith like this, they take it to the watch. Something that takes one out of the fold of Islam. So we have to understand things like this. وَعَنْهُ قَالْ. From Anas رضي الله عنه, he also said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمرنا بالباء وينهى عن التبرتل نهيا شديدا. He used to order us to do الباء, that is to get married and also have sexual intercourse. وَيَنْهَا عَنِ التَّبَغْتُلْ. And he used to forbid or go against التَّبَغْتُلْ. التَّبَغْتُلْ is for one to say one is not going to get married. For one to say that one is going to devote oneself for ibadah. One is not going to get married. One is going to avoid things of the dunya. This is التَّبَغْتُلْ. Said نَهْرًا شَدِيدًا. That he used to go against that seriously. ويقول, and he used to say, تزوج الولود الودودة فإني مكافر بكم الأمة مكافر بكم الأنبياء يوم القيامة. رواه أحمد وصححه ابن حبان. He said, Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تزوج الولود, marry الولود, the woman that can procreate al-wadud, that is loving. فَإِنِّي مُكَافِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, for I'm going to outnumber the prophets of Allah in terms of followership, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, on the day of Qiyamah. رواه أحمد. Ahmad reported this for Sahih Ibn Hibban, and Ibn Hibban declared this to be authentic. Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala said this report of Na' al-Tabattul Na' al-Shadida is what is right. But the context, تَزَوَّدِ الْوَلُودَ الْوَدُودَ فَإِنِّي مُكَافِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ أَوْ فَإِنِّي مُكَافِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَّةَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So there are various reports on this, and this report is authentic. That is the report they put together is authentic. So that is the content. فَزَوَّدِ الْوَلُودَ الْوَدُودَ فَإِنِّي مُكَافِرُ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ is authentic. Let us of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the author also brought, he said, وَلَوْ شَهِدٍ عِنْدَ أَبِي دَاوُدُ وَالنَّسَائِ, there is a shahid, that is an additional evidence supporting and corroborating the content of the hadith, عِنْدَ أَبِي دَاوُدُ, that you can find in the Sunan of Abi Dawud, والنسائي, in the Sunan of Nasai, وابن حبان, likewise with Ibn Hibban, in Hadith Ma'aqib bin Yasar, from the Hadith of Ma'aqib, the son of Yasar. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَدُودَ الْوَدُودِ فَإِنُّهُ كَافِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So the same content, so those, that one was مُكَافِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Now, the Sunan Abi Dawud, what led to this statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ma'qil bin Yasar said that a man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, inni asabtu mura'atan zaata hasabin wa jamal. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I found a woman, zaata hasabin. This woman had, you know, good lineage, wa jamal, and she's very beautiful. He said, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَلِجِ, but she's a woman that cannot procreate. She's a woman that cannot procreate. Beautiful, and what? She has what? Good lineage. وَلَكِنَّهَا لَكَلِجِ, but the woman cannot procreate. Messenger of Allah said, if I ask Messenger of Allah, أَتَزَوَّجُهَا, can I marry her? Messenger of Allah said, لا, don't marry her. The man asked the second time, Messenger of Allah said, La, don't marry her. He asked the third time, Messenger of Allah said, La, don't marry her. Messenger of Allah now said, what? فَزَوَّجُ الْوَلُودَ الْوَلُودَ, marry women that what? That can procreate, that prolific. And wajud, that are loving. فَإِنِّي مُكَافِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Now what you benefit from this hadith is what I said. When somebody decides that he's not going to marry, the person he was is campaigning for the extinction of the human race. And this is again the sunnah of Allah on the surface of the earth. So one should get married. And when one gets married, one's intention should not be what? So I'm going to get married, but I just want to have sexual intercourse. I want to enjoy myself. And for children, I don't want to have children. So there is no much difference between such a person and the one who says, I'm not going to marry. The one who says, I'm not going to marry, it's like he's calling for what? The extinction of the human race. And the one who says, I'm going to marry, but no, I just want to enjoy myself. I'm not interested in children. You know, some people say, okay, I don't want to have more than, see, one child is okay. Two children are okay. So that's what, you know, I can train them, I can do that. As I've said, it's not in your hands. When you have a child, wallah, if Allah has not assisted you, you can't train a child. In fact, you can't train yourself. You cannot feed yourself without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it's very, very important for the Muslims to ponder on the Quran. We are far away from the teachings of the Quran, and that's why a lot of people, the way we reason like the West. We reason like the West. Because you believe that if you have one child, that is when you can cater for him or her. And that is life. You cannot get out of yourself. And that's the message of Allah, the Lord. Marry women that can procreate. That's what we are made to understand and believe, that when you have many children, you are inviting what? Poverty. But is it true that when you have many children, you are inviting poverty? The answer is no, it's not true. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, said concerning the Banu Israel, he said, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَثِيرًا. And we made you many in number. When a people are many in number, they can go, they can confront many, many countries, many nations. But when you are few in numbers, people can what? They can smash you and what? Destroy you easily. And that's why those countries that have the large population, they are strong. Likewise, a father that has many children, he cannot say, okay, I am going to have what? If I have a child, so that I can take care of the child. So, as you have said, that you cannot guarantee that you can take care of the child. Then you cannot really tell of all your children which one is going to watch, which one is going to help you. You may think that if you have two children, okay, maybe when you grow old, there are those that will assist you. It may be in the qadar of Allah that these two children, maybe they will be poor. But if you have three, if you have that, maybe one of them will be the one to be supporting all of them. So if you have said, okay, I'm not going to have what? More than two. Maybe the one that what? That will assist you, that will benefit the family, maybe it's here from birth. And that's why this theory and this idea of not having more than maybe two children, the way it's been so to us, is something that a Muslim should justify. A Muslim should not reckon with it at all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the human race to continue till he decides to take them away. So the one who says, look, I'm not going to have wife, it's like he's calling for the extinction of the human race. The one who says, okay, I want to get married, but it's just for me to satisfy my sexual urge, not because I want to have children. So I'm not getting married because of what? Children. So such a person is what? It's like he's also calling for the extinction of human race. Now that doesn't mean it's haram for one to say, okay, I'm getting married, not because of children. In all cases, it can be permissible. Like the case of Jabir radiallahu anhu, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam learned that he got married, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that Abikran am Tayyiban, your new wife, is she a young girl or a Tayyib, a previously married woman? He said, Tayyib, a previously married woman. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ala dhikran tula'ibuka wa tula'ibuka. Why can't you marry a young girl that will be playing with you and you also be playing with her? And that is where there is a lesson in that hadith. Messenger of Allah did not know where he got married. Not like what from Jama'ah, are preaching today, that before anybody in their jama'ah must get married, the amir must be aware. Otherwise, the person is what? Prosecuted from the jama'ah. This is what? Bid'ah. The jama'ah can marry without the knowledge of the amir. Medina was a small community. Abdurrahman bin Awf got married. Medina of Allah did not know when his marriage took place. Jabir radiallahu anhu also got married, didn't know when the marriage took place. So the Messenger of Allah told him, Ala dhikran tula'ibuha, atula'ibuka wa tula'ibuha. Why can't you marry a young girl that you'll be playing with and you also be playing with him? Jabir now explained the reason why he got married to a previously married woman. And that is, my father is dead, my father is late, and he left behind young girls. I don't want to marry young lady like themselves. I need somebody who is older than them that can take care of them. That is the reason. Now, for that to avoid maybe taking this woman as well from the hadith, it's like, well, that is his first wife. And this is to take it to our own culture. and the practice today, it goes against our culture. For somebody to come home to say, my father and my mother want to get married now. They wouldn't want to marry the woman. She already has six children. Are you crazy? That is what would be the response of the parents. But we are not looking deeply into this. Because if you look at women that are what? Maybe divorcing, or women that are widowed. If we say there is only the marriage to a man that already has what? A wife. That means they should always be what? Second wife. They are going to meet some resistance from some women who do not want their husband to also take what? A second wife. There will be what? There is this resistance already. That my husband is not going to take the second one. And here is a woman, maybe she's 22, 23, maybe less than that, or more than that. The husband is late. So according to this sister, what we are saying is that what this woman should remain unmarried towards the end of her life. If you put yourself in this shoe, can you cope with this situation? Now somebody now says, look, I want to marry such a person as what? A first wife. Then there is another resistance from the parents. Are you crazy? There are so many young girls. Then they have decided they are going to marry a previously married woman. And this man doesn't look at it from that angle. Fine, let me talk about encouraging us to marry women that are what? That are young. And now very told Jordan, Allah Dikra, Tula'ibuka, wa Tula'ibuha. But it's not like it's haram to marry Sayyid. When Jalil explained the reason why he got married to what? So Sayyid is making up a lot of truth. So if somebody is not yet married and he wants to get married in Africa, they are going to marry a woman that is previously married, maybe to her sister. Now, he that is embarking on that, nobody has forced her to do that. He that is embarking on that should know that what he's doing is on his own. Not that you'll not be regretting that after he has stepped into it. You say, oh Allah, if I know, I'll just have done. No, Shariah is not imposing. Why is it permissible? Just like taking the second wife is permissible. Shariah is not imposing. Everybody must take what? The second wife. But the one who feels that he needs the second wife and now goes into it should not what? Blame anybody except himself. If there is any problem, you should be shaking himself. Not the law that is what? That is faulty. The word is the law is not faulty, it is in that have what? The programmation might what? Rectify the problem. So, Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the man, don't do that. When the man asked the second time, the third time, he said, Tazawwaj al-Waluda al-Wajud. The reason I'm asking you to get married to marry that woman that you have talked about is because I want you to get married to women that can procreate. So that the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue on the surface of the earth. Marry women that can procreate. So that they say, how are we going to know that the woman can procreate? He said, if the woman is previously married, from the children that she has, you know that this woman can what? Procreate. Then if she's not married, she's a young girl, you can get to know that maybe she can procreate looking at her mother, looking at her aunt, and maybe paternal aunt or maternal aunt. If they have well children, if they have children, there is what? The possibility of she being what a prolific woman as well that can what to create. So from that you can watch the Camaria. The Messenger of Allah said what Al Wajuda, the one that is loving. How are you going to know that the woman is loving? If the woman is previously married, maybe from what you have heard about the relationship, her relationship with the husband, maybe the late husband, you can know that this woman is what? She's a loving wife. A loving wife is the wife that when the man comes back, maybe depressed, she was ready to take away this depression from her. Not that a woman that when the husband comes back and the husband is somehow disturbed, depressed, she's going to have to watch that depression off of the man. That is not a loving woman. A loving woman is always ready to take away the sorrow of her husband. So a loving woman is a woman that watch when she is in the house with the husband, she will not be regretting and maybe the marriage. And this is the reason why Islam does not want any parent to force their daughter into what, marrying a particular person. That, oh, come my daughter, you must marry this man or I disown you. No, that is not Islam. Kaisa, the daughter of Suzan, one day, as contained by Bukhari, went to the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and complained that her father compelled her to marry somebody, and she was not interested in that person. فَرَدَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ نِكَحَهَا. And the Messenger of Allah turned down that nikah. Another report, فَرَدَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نِكَحَ أَبِيهَا. The Messenger of Allah turned down the nikah of the father. So, that is not permissible for you to force a woman to marry a person. Some groups, they practice this in Islam. I will tell you that, okay, maybe you need to be Amir, that Amir, I need a sister. Said, okay. Not that you give them that you need a sister. They will tell you when you are ripe for marriage. You are not ripe for marriage until what? You have done so and so, done so and so, maybe you have concluded all that is when you are ripe for marriage. As if the Amir or the one who is in charge of that is not what? Your sexual urge. Then when you are not ripe for marriage, according to their own criteria, then they will be the one to give you the one to watch to marry. In fact, somebody was telling me that while he was in the Jama'at, or in some of these Jama'at, he said that a woman who had got this tribal mask was given to a brother, and the brother said, I don't like, said, they had to see things that come in your family. Is there nobody that has tribal mask? You can't force somebody to marry somebody. Because there must be what? Mawadda. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. There must be mawadda between the husband and what? Unless you want the home to what? To be destroyed. You want the home to come. If not, if a woman or a lady must be allowed to marry the person that she loves. So that when she gets home, she will be what? A loving wife. Not that you impose somebody on her or you impose somebody on him. But it is not Islam. You know the case of Barira and Mughith. Barira slave, Mughith slave. When Barira became free, she decided she was not interested what? In Mughith. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, Barira, why not consider Mughith? He said, Messenger of Allah, is this wahyu, or that is, are you speaking with me based on what Allah has instructed me to do, or you are just trying to intercede on behalf of Mughith? Everything of Allah is just an intercession with you. I'm not saying it was command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you should research. I'm not interested. Look at that statement of Allah. I'm not interested. No, no, none of the companions said, sorry, are you crazy? Don't you know the person that is asking you? Letting the Balamila presented himself to companions like that. You are free to decide if you want to marry, if you don't want to marry, so and so forth. So there is no imposition at all. So, what does the Balamila say? That was his wadud, the woman that should be loving. That is, she loves the husband. A woman that does not love somebody and that person is imposed on her, you cannot expect that woman when she gets in to be behaving towards in a loving way to the husband. You cannot expect that. You can't expect that. I know of a case of somebody who was married to a lady. It is not disclosed to people. But he and the wife, both of them, were managing this between themselves. He said that maybe a month after their marriage, they had to call the wife that, I don't love you, but because they want us, or they wanted us to do it. wife started crying. He told me this, and I also spoke with the wife. Both of them were in front of me, we were discussing, and the wife confirmed that the man told her that he was not interested. Maybe they moved after the marriage. But the question is, why did you go with the marriage when you know that you did not love her? So the response was that what he went to meet the Amir or so, or the whatever, and he said, at times, you know, this is how marriage is start. Gradually, love will come. And he said he has not experienced anyone before. Maybe that is the way people who get married, the way they... So he said on the marriage day, he was not pleased. He was not speaking, but he was not pleased. And the wife was seated when he was saying on. He said he was not expecting maybe the week after the marriage, maybe the love will come 2 weeks, 3 weeks past. Love did not come. I have to open up to it. When the woman had this answer, a month, she was disappointed. And she started crying. And most of them, they married for years, like that, because of what happened started. Now, the side here is that it's not permissible for you to impose on a woman or on a man that he must marry so-and-so or she must marry so-and-so. And that's the Messenger of Allah rejected the marriage of the father, because the father imposed on Khalfa to marry somebody. And Messenger of Allah, Farad Danikaha Abiha. So this is something that is very, very important, because the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, want the woman to be al-wadud, just as a man wants to be al-wadud. So that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do in ayatih, and khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwajan, litaskunu ilayha, wa ja'ala baynakum mawaddatan wa rahman. Mawaddatan wa rahman. For the mawadda to be established, you marry somebody that you love and that loves you. And that's why in Islam Ibn Majah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَمْ يُرَ لِلْمُتَحَابَيْنِ مِثْلُ النِّكَاحِ. There is nothing that is as good as a man and a woman that love each other. There is nothing that is as good as both of them coming together as a husband and a wife. Instead of what maybe you see a man is what is being inclined to a woman being inclined to a man, and both of them will be doing things that maybe you tell me a husband and a wife that should be doing this. Why not marry each other and close what the case of evil? Because Shaitan may use you. Why not what marry one another? And that's the thing about that was learning all in Sahabi, Miklu, and Nikah. So there are a lot of lessons that we learn from the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the practices of the companions. Inshallah, we stop here because I have a lecture somewhere, but because of the long break, I decided that maybe we should have some talk. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see our life beyond the next week. We'll continue maybe effectively, so to say, next week, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. قال ابن نعم جزاكم الله خيرا. Escaped my mind. Now, when the Messenger of Allah told the man that he shouldn't marry that woman, it's not like it's haram to marry. Because the reason is why we marry women and marry husbands, there are a lot of what reasons. Yeah, when we take the next hadith, Tunka al Mar'a li Arba'in, so we see some other reasons. But this is with respect to what procreation. The Messenger of Allah wanted that man to marry somebody that will procreate, it's like this watch is a special advice, so to say, for that man. That no, don't start your life by what? Marry somebody that cannot procreate. Marry somebody that can procreate. Now, a woman that cannot procreate, for instance, can be taken as well as a second wife. Can be taken as a second wife. Since the man has already is married to what? the person that he feels can procreate based on what he has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'lam. But based on what he has seen, and based on what, on his own study, he believes that maybe this woman that he's married to now can work procreate. After that, such a woman can be taken as a second wife. So there are a lot of reasons that women like that can also be married. So it's not haram for us, because it says it's haram, that means those women who cannot procreate, who have what, they have no husbands. And this is not what Islam is calling for. So they can be taken as what? Second wife. But for me to say, okay, I don't want to have children, this is for me to just have satisfy myself, that is the only thing. But I don't mind marrying a woman that cannot procreate. It defeats the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it goes against it. So, and it goes against the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, now this is what has just been said. Khanfa, a female companion. The father wanted her to marry somebody, and she went to the Messenger of Allah to complain that I'm not interested in the person that my father wanted me to marry. The Messenger of Allah farad nikaha, nikaha. The Messenger of Allah turned that nikah. So if the parents want a daughter to marry a person, and the daughter is pleased with that person, it's a very good thing. But if she's not pleased, so Islam is also against that. Because Islam wants her to be a loving wife that will be caring for the husband, not somebody that just be inside and watch the frowning her face and things like that. Allah Alam. Now the question is, what is the advice? Or before we ask the advice, what is Islamic ruling on a spouse, both of whom are married for years and they have children, but there is no love between the man and his wife? What does Islam say on that? Leave my own advice. What does Islam say? Now this is what their issue. This is their issue. So they can be, they are in the best position to decide. They are in the best position to decide. The woman is in the best position to decide. The man is also in the best position to decide. Why do I say this? This is because we have cases like that during time of the companions. Jamila, in one report, went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la a'atib ala qayn a'la thabit fi dinin wa la khulq. He said, I don't have any problem with the religion of thabit. I don't have any problem with his religion. Very religious. Not in character. He is a good man. وَلَكِنَّنِي أَخْشَى الْكُفْرَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. But I don't want to be an ingrate in Islam. That is all these things that this man is doing for me, who buy this for me, who do this for me. I hate him. I don't like seeing him. The Messenger of Allah understood what this man was saying. The next thing is that what? أَتَرُجِّينَ عَلَيْهَا بِالْقَطَى. You want to go. Are you ready to also return back the mahar that you have collected from him? She said, yes, I'm ready to do that. The Messenger of Allah invited the husband. This is what your wife has said. He said, take Iqbal al-Hadiqah. Take the what? The guidance that you have given her as what? the man was for lightheartedly for and what revolved her. Now the woman, this is what she wanted. Now you should not be attacking that. Why? Because you are not the one living with the man. So that's why I said what the woman is in the best position to do that. Likewise, the man will be the best. When somebody knows that, okay, this woman, if I keep her, I don't love her, I will just be what? I will be punishing her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not keep your wife diraran. In order to what? In order to arm them. It's a thing. When you know that this woman, you don't love her, let her go. So that those who are interested in her work to take her. But for you to keep her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wala tusibuhunna diraran bita'tadu. Don't keep them and you want to be victimizing them. And that way it is wrong. When somebody divorces a woman, so now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed that what they should divorce them in a way that what they will start their anger. Not that you don't want to divorce her, you now divorce her in a situation where the anger will be prolonged. If you are not interested in her, why keeping her? Why preventing other people from what? From marrying her? So this is Islam. So my own advice is that what both of them should look at the matter. Now if you first for Islam and they are children, the woman should look, if it's the woman that she's not feeling well with the husband, she should look, if I go now, what will happen to my children? Will these children suffer? She will look at it like this. If she now what prefers towards to take to look after her children and bear whatever thing she's going through with the husband, that is good. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that wasulhu khayr. So for them to want to reach sulhu. When we say sulhu, that means like a compromise somewhere. Sulhu means you are going to want to give up some things. So you know that maybe the woman knows that the husband is not doing what he's supposed to do. The man is what? The man is neglect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold him responsible, punish him for that. But now the case is what? There are some things that the woman is also considering. If I go now, maybe so and so is going to happen. Then in that case, there is no juna for them to do a solution. Maybe give up some of the rights. Like what Sauda, the old wife of the Messenger of Allah, what she did. She was an old woman. She had to give up some things because she could not do what the young wife of the Messenger of Allah was doing. And she did not want to be the wife of the Messenger of Allah in this dunya and what in the akhirah. So she considered that, oh, that is something that they gave for me. Okay, what will make the Messenger of Allah divorce me? Let me quickly patch that area. And she voluntarily said, what? My day, my night, I give it up to Aisha. And with that, she was able to watch, to sustain, I've been watched the wife of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this world and what? In the hereafter. So, what sulhu khayr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So the same thing can be said of the husband. Maybe the husband has what? A stubborn wife. When the husband says, do this, she says no. She's always making trouble with the husband. So maybe there are children, there are maybe a lot of considerations. So the man says, oh, I don't want that again. Maybe the children, nobody to take care of the children. Wasulhu khayr. For him to also do sulhu and for some of his. Now the woman is what? If affecting him. So, but when to do sulhu is also what good based on some constitution. This is what Islam. Islam has not said compulsory you have to do sulhu. Encourages. Islam encourages. When the man says, no, she must go, I'm not interested in her anymore, I cannot tolerate this, he has what? The right. If the man says, no, I cannot be all this nonsense again, she has what? The right. So this is what Islam. This is Islam, Allah.
Thank you.
Now the same thing is applicable. A man maybe has lost 1 pound, and the woman maybe she's tested okay. Does she have the right to go? She has the right. Can she stay? Yes, she can stay. And nobody can say, oh, yeah, in fact, our sisters, they are not, you have to be there with this man. No. This is what? You are talking with sympathy. You are not talking with what? With the text. The text is that what she has the right to go. But if she wants to stay, maybe consider some other things for Sulu Khayyid. Huh? Consider some things. So the same thing that is applicable to the man is also applicable to the woman. This is what Islam Allah. And the same thing as I said, the same thing. Say for instance now, a woman, if a man is confirmed to have a low sperm count, though we cannot rely on that completely, because when you say somebody has what low sperm count, so they are saying that okay, maybe there should be about 20 million or so, whatever. So if the person now has what less than that, they will say what the man has what. And one, what is only one somatogram that is what that is needed. So nobody can say okay, it cannot happen, because there are cases like that. I read a book that somebody said somebody has just maybe few somatogram, and the woman became pregnant. So, but if you want to base it generally on what the medical doctors have said, that okay, anything below 20 million is what is those one count, and the woman said, well, based on the test that has been done, so I don't think I can wait. Now you, brother or friend, don't say no, wallahi, you don't have the man, wallahi, don't say that. She has the right to do that. And she has the right to. If you want to just maybe appeal to her, why not? You know that you are appealing. But talking about her right, if she goes, she has not offended Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if Messenger of Allah told somebody that wanted to marry a woman that cannot procreate, la, 3 times. What about a woman that knows that a man cannot lust, also impregnate? Eh? So is the Messenger of Allah going to say, no, she should continue? No. And this is what Allah asks. But if she decides that, okay, maybe I will get with him, this is something that is what is permissible. And take for instance, maybe a woman is married, maybe she already has maybe 3 children, 4 children somewhere, and she sees a man that she loves, and man also loves her, maybe after the death of the first husband, or maybe she was divorced by the first husband. And that man maybe cannot impregnate. Now the man can perform but cannot impregnate. Can she marry him? Yes, she can marry. She can marry. So we have to look at things together. So let us throw away all this sympathy and this, because what I've observed in issue of nikah and talaq is that what we have put in much sympathy, and what we have also imported the Western cultures into it. Not even the Yoruba culture, the Western cultures. So this is what we look. Then we not throw away the book of Allah. If you not see somebody doing something that is in line with you, what the Salafus Salih have done, to pretend to court to condemn that person. And with that, unknowingly, we are also attacking Islam. Unknowingly, we are attacking Islam, Allahu A'lam. Okay, let's just take the 3 questions and that will be the end of it. No? Contract. Walima and Abdu, what should be the duration? between
Indaba
should be between the I don't know any stipulation for that. President of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Aisha radhiyallahu anha in Makkah and did not consummate her and do a liver or teen, he got to marry. And that was 2 years later. 2 years later. But when we say Abdu Nikah, Abdu Nikah should be differentiated from what? Khitbah. Huh? Hanisa. Giving woman the khitbah is different from what? Abdu. When you do Abdu with a woman, she's your wife. Who will give you a husband come to your house? If anything happens between you and her, you ask her, you kiss her, even if you have sexual intercourse with her, you have not committed zina. But is it permissible for one to have sexual intercourse with woman that what? Maybe she has not been taken to your home. So this is permissible, but scholars will say, okay, it's better for one not to do it. Why? They say if one dies, for instance, and the woman has not been taken to your house, huh? So any person that sees her after that may be pregnant, so to say, they may be accusing her of what? Of zina. Unless if the nikah is what? Is proclaimed, that is announced, that everybody knows that what? There is nikah, only she has not come to your house. In that case, then there is nothing. But if it's not proclaimed, maybe just la nikah illa wali wa shahidi ali. So two witnesses, so only those two witnesses are aware that maybe the nikah has been what? Has been done. Others are not aware. They do not speak with her. Then after that, maybe something happens and the woman what? Becomes pregnant. People will be accusing her of zina, where did she bring this? So to avoid things like that. So and that's why Islam, when you see a woman pregnant, you have this not for you to watch, to accuse her of what? Of zina. Not everything that you see, you talk about. The hadith of death is there. Those who saw Safwan bin Mu'awiyah bringing Aisha radhiyallahu anha on what? On the camel's back. He said, they are going to commit zina. And became what? The fear of evil in the town. So you see somebody entering, a woman entering the house of a man, for instance, now. Yes, it's suspicious. But why should not be they've gone and do dinner? That's what they've gone and do what? Dinner is what? It's very big. What? It's what is called defamation. So if the person picks you up, you have to bring what? Witnesses. And if you are unable to do that, it is what? 80 souks, 80 lashes in the Sharia. Wallahu alayhi. Now one will follow the prescription of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْوَالِدَاتِ يُرْضِيْنَا أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَةَ. So the mother should breastfeed their children for 2 good years for those who want to complete the breastfeeding, not compulsion. For those who want to complete the breastfeeding. So if a woman is pregnant for 9 months, then she does the breastfeeding for 2 years, that is two years, nine months. Then after that she got, she's pregnant again. So that is what? That is the satisfaction. It's about close to 3 years between, but not compulsory. If there's a year between the first son and the second son, the second and the third is not haram. But لمن أراد أن يتم رضاعة. So this is what is permitted. But once the one wants to do what we call family planning, that is, I don't want to have more than 2 children, 3 children, this is against Islam. Because what leads people to that is fear of poverty. Huh? And what the fear that if you have more than that, you will not be able to train them. So that is what led to that. And as we said, even if you have one child, if Allah subhanahu wants to try with that child, you will not be able to train him or her. So maybe you will be taking him to this place, taking him to this place, finding him abroad and so on and so forth. You will spend all your wealth on That means you cannot brainwash a child, so you are not supposed to get married. You are not supposed to get married. So this is what is the secret of what of the West. As I said, most of the things that we do as far as we can, talak are concerned, most of them are what both things, not things that are what part and parcel of our Sharia. We have thrown away our Sharia and we are copying people, now imposing it on the Muslims, that this is what the ID thing. Allah Allah. Ensuring one's property is allowed in Islam. If it is not imposed on you by the government, it is not allowed. If the government imposes it, then in that case one who does it and not allowed, because you are compelled to do that. Now whatever benefit comes out of it, for instance, how can you take it? These scholars they disagree on. Some say since you have paid, you can watch. Enjoy the benefit that comes out of it. Some said, no, you don't enjoy it, so you can only take what is the what you have paid. So this is what some scholars have said. That is, if it is imposed on you. And now this is not applicable to those who are what doing a risk comprehensive insurance. That is not imposed on one. But let's say in a society it is what comprehensive insurance that is imposed. Can you benefit? So you can benefit. According to some scholars, you cannot benefit. But for one to willingly do it without being imposed, so this is not permissible, because this issue of insurance is gambling, and it has the order of a river in it as well. Gambling is that what one of the two parties must lose for the other party to profit. And anything that is worth it is something that one party must do for the other party to gain is what is called gambling in Islam. That is the qaida. Gambling is anything that what one of the parties must lose for the other party to profit. That is called gambling. There is involved some what maybe some item of the river in it. And that's why what the state councils are upon is that it is not permissible to do insurance. Wallahu a'lam. Can a Muslim woman be a presenter? No. This is not permissible. Because when she presents, people will be looking at her. Some people will be interested in her voice and things like that. So if she's going to be a presenter, so to say, among the females, and not at work, both the males, everybody will be looking at her, then in that case, it is permissible. But if it is something that the generality of the people will be looking at her, listening to her voice, this is not something that is permissible. But the unfortunate thing is that we have a lot of orals who are also interested as in women doing this, representing, and some women, they believe they are caged, if they are not allowed to do this. So instead of you battling in order to be presenter to the whole world, why not struggle and learn the game and be presenter to the world? So the female, so that you can benefit them. There are some things that what some women cannot discuss with what the male malams, that if they have female teachers, they can explain better, they will get what better answer. But the problem is that what a lot of women are not interested in this. Want to compete with the kafirah, with the kuffar in what in this world they think. So that's why they start giving you some what, some conditions that okay, just use this case, hijab, use so and so. So this is not something that is permissible. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.